Hello again. It's wonderful to have you with us again as we continue our look in the prophetic book of Daniel. And we're in chapter 2 right now. And today we'd like to look at the stone that crushed that image. We saw last time that there was this image that the king had seen in his dream. And Daniel was given the dream by the Lord and the interpretation of it. And he recounted to the king how this image spoke of four kingdoms that would go to the end of time when the Lord would set up his kingdom. And so today we'd like to look at the stone that will crush this image. And first of all, we should look at the identity of the stone. And so we'll look at a couple of passages now. The first one in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 24. And one thing that's important when it comes to pictures or typology is that the Bible is always very consistent. And so what we see in the Word of God, that a stone or rock speaks of our great God. The Lord is a rock. He is my rock and fortress, David said. And so we see also in the picture of the Israelites as they were first had come out of Egypt, that they were lacking water, and the Lord gave them water from a rock. And we see in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, that rock spoke of Christ. And so we see that typology speaking of the Lord being the rock. And so in Genesis chapter 49, in this prophetic word of Jacob to his sons, he's now addressing Joseph, and he says to him, Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. And now verse 24, but his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, the stone of Israel. And then we go on to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. So we see here there's a couple of responses that can be given to that stone, the Lord Jesus Christ, to those who some are stumbled by it, like the nation Israel, others believe, and to those that believe, he is precious. So now let's look at this rejection of him by Israel that this speaks of in Psalm 118:22. And this is what this passage was speaking of, Psalm 118 and verse 22. And here we read, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. So we see here that there's a rejection, an initial rejection of this one, the stone, but that he is exalted and made the chief preeminent one of all the redeemed. So we go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. Matthew's Gospel 21 and verse 42. Now here the Lord Jesus himself shows that this passage is speaking about him. And so he's saying to the rulers and those around, and verse 42, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on the stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. And so what we see here is this generation of Israel had rejected him. And he's saying it will be, the kingdom of God will be taken from you. The king had come. The Lord had come to offer the kingdom to this generation. They had rejected him. Therefore, they would not receive the kingdom. And therefore, it would be given to another nation. In other words, another generation. And we still see that in the future, that day when Israel will be restored to the Lord, as prophesied in a number of places, but seen fulfilled in Zechariah chapter 12 to 14, as well as in Isaiah and Jeremiah and other places. And so we see that it will be taken away. So they rejected him, it will be taken away. And then he gives this interesting comparison in verse 44, where he says, whoever falls on the stone will be broken. And so this was speaking of them. They were the generation that had fallen on the stone. They stumbled. Christ was, and what he had offered was a stumbling block to them. He was not the one they were expected. They were looking for a conquering hero. They were looking for the line of the tribe of Judah, but he came as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And he was not what they were looking for. They were looking for physical deliverance from Rome, but he came to be the Savior. And so it says they were the ones that fell on the stone. But then he goes on, whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. That speaks of his next coming, his second coming, when he will come and set up his kingdom on earth. But he will do so suddenly and with great force and with power and with much violence. He will come and put down the armies of the world. And so it's here in this one verse, we see the two advents of the Lord, that whoever falls on the stone will be broken. That speaks of the first advent when he was a stumbling block to Israel. And then the next part, whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. That speaks of his second advent when he will come. And so this interesting that says about grinding him to powder. Now we go back to Daniel and we see that what it's speaking of in Daniel chapter 2. And Daniel had prophesied this hundreds of years earlier. And Daniel 2 and verse 34. Here Daniel is telling the king again his dream. He says, you watched while a stone was cut without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And so we see in Matthew, it talks about being ground to powder. Here we see the verbiage is like chaff being carried away by the wind. And so the stone struck the image on the feet, and the image fell, and it became like chaff. It became dust, and the wind just carried it away, never to be seen again. And so we see here the conquering Lord. Now we're going to see this more detail later when we get to chapter 7, but just if you turn for a moment to Daniel 7, and verse 13, again we see again this coming of the Lord. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. So the Lord will come as a conquering one, and he is that stone that will strike the image. And so this, what this tells us is the timing of this event. It comes at during the time of this last kingdom. Daniel had told Nebuchadnezzar that you are that head of gold. And so he was the first kingdom. It was in Daniel's time. That was followed by the Medes and Persians, as we learned last time. Then Alexander the Great and the Greek Empire, which then was dispersed to his four generals. And then the Roman Empire during the time of Christ. But in the last days, there will be a resurrection of this Roman Empire, seen in the 2 feet, the toes, the 10 kings. And there will be this union of kings, of nation blocks. But one of the leaders will be the strong man, known as the Antichrist. And so he will be that one, and we will learn a little more of him later on in the book of Daniel. But what we see here, that's the time that the Lord will come during the time of this last resurrection of the Roman Empire at the end of time. And so the Lord will come, and he's pictured putting down this ungodly kingdom, the 7-year kingdom over the earth, and that spoken of as Daniel's 70th week, and the Lord will put it down, and he will then set up his kingdom, and that's pictured here in the stone becoming like a great mountain. Isn't it interesting when you think of a little, you know, a little stone, just think of a rough, unimpressive stone. That's really what the Lord was to the nation of Israel. This one, we don't want him. There was nothing impressive to the nation about this one. He was just of any old stone. But we see what the Lord did with that stone. He used the Lord to bear the penalty for our sins. The Lord judged the Lord Jesus for our sins. And he paid the penalty for our sins at Calvary. And he finished the work. He paid for every single sin of the world. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. And now the Lord has been seated at the right hand of God, and he's been given the highest place, the preeminence. And someday he's going to come back to this earth, and he's going to remove these kingdoms spoken of in this image, and he's going to set up his kingdom. And his kingdom is like that mountain that's going to fill the whole earth. And so unlike all these other kingdoms we see in the image, whether the Babylonians or the Medes and Persians or the Greeks or the Romans, none of them had the extent of dominion as the Lord will have. His dominion will be from one end of the earth to the other. He will be in charge of the whole earth. He will rule over the whole earth like no one ever has before. And so that's the extent of his kingdom. We also read in these verses, in verse 34 and 35, it says that, as we go on to verse 44, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. This tells us that this kingdom of the Lord Jesus will never end. We know the initial reign is for 1,000 years, the millennial kingdom. But then he will deliver it up to his Father, that God may be all in all, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15. And then the Lord and his Father will reign. Heaven will come down to earth, and they will reign together over the earth. It will be a different kind of reign then. When the Lord reigns on the earth during the 1,000 years, it's known as a mediatorial kingdom, where he will be reigning on behalf of God. Remember in the book of Genesis, the Lord told Adam that he was to have dominion over the whole earth, but he failed. He forfeited it by sin. And so when he sinned against the Lord, that he lost that dominion, and now we have one who is the ruler of this age, the devil, who is controlling the kingdoms of the world. And the Lord's allowing him to do that. But someday, a man will again rule over this earth. That's the Lord's, always been the Lord's plan for man to have dominion over the earth. So the first man failed, but the last Adam will succeed. So turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5. For he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. The world to come is the millennial kingdom, followed by the eternal state. But one testified in a certain place, saying, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the work of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he has put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him." We don't see it yet. We're still waiting for that day when man will again be ruling over the earth on behalf of God. Verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." And so the Lord was made a little lower than the angels. The Son of God, the eternal Son, became a human, became one of us. Still fully God, but now clothed in human flesh. He was made lower than the angels in his humanity. And he did that so he could go to Calvary and bear our sins. But he has now been exalted, and he's a king in waiting. He's now at the right hand of God. The Lord said to him, "Come here, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool." And on Psalm 110. But someday the Lord's coming back, and he's going to be that stone that strikes that image, and he's going to set up his kingdom here on earth. And when he does, man will again have dominion over the earth. And the Lord's going to succeed where the first Adam failed. And that's how why we see in 1 Corinthians 15, he will deliver up the kingdom at the end of the 1,000 years to the Father. And it will be a perfect rule. And the Father could just as easily say then, as he said during the Lord's sojourn on earth during his first advent, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It will be a perfect reign. What will be the nature of that reign? Well, we turn to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. "But to the Son he says, 'Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom.'" Oh, don't we long for righteousness now? We see so many times people unjustly imprisoned for things they didn't do. We see people who are guilty being let free. We see believers being persecuted in many lands today. Oh, how we long for perfect righteousness, a righteous ruler. Well, someday we will see that. Someday the Lord Jesus will reign from Jerusalem over the whole earth, and he will set things right, and he will reign with a rod of righteousness. He will reign in perfect righteousness. He will always do what is right, and he will be a just ruler over the whole earth. We'll look at that image in Daniel chapter 2. None of those men were righteous. Many of them were despots. And they were not fair leaders a lot of the time. And right, we certainly could not say righteousness was reigning at that time. Someday there will be one that will come, and he will reign over this earth as the righteous man, the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will reign from Jerusalem. What a day that will be. Looking at the image, we see that as these different types of government tried to be the right government. We had the initial Nebuchadnezzar, a one-man rule. You could say he was like a dictator. And today we have the same thing. We have dictators in some of the lands, and they don't rule righteously. We had a union of two nations, the Medes and Persians, and they weren't perfect rulers. They didn't rule righteously. Then we had Alexander the Great, again, a strong man, but then before long after his death, was dispersed to four generals, and so we have a division in a sense of provinces and the division of Greece into four districts. But these people didn't rule righteously. In fact, one of them, Antiochus Epiphanes, was a horrible, wicked man. But the Romans, they had their system of government, maybe kind of like a Senate and a democracy, along with an emperor, like a combination of a strongman and democratic principles, in a sense. Although the emperor was the ultimate authority, we see in the end of time with the ten kings, there will be a mixture of clay and iron, and there will be a mixture of a strongman with different forms of government in these ten kingdoms. But none of them will reign righteously, and the Antichrist will be a wicked man. And so we see the image displaying the times of the Gentiles from 586 BC to the coming of Christ, the times of the Gentiles. There is no righteous rule. And one reason is because man is not ruling on behalf of God. That's what Adam was tasked to do. But when the Lord comes, he will be a righteous man, a righteous God, ruling on the behalf of God the Father. It will be a mediatorial kingdom. And then when it's finished, he will deliver it up to his Father. Another aspect that is missing is, since Israel became a nation, they were to be the preeminent nation. And we read in Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 13. Here the Lord is saying what blessings will come to them if they obey the Lord, but if they don't, they will suffer curses of being dispersed. And so here the Lord says in verse 13, the blessings that will come if they follow the Lord. And it says, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, to give the rain to your land, so that you shall be above and not beneath. I'll start over. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Israel was meant to be the head of the nations. They were to be above the others. They were to be an example of the one and only God to the nations around. But because of their disobedience, they have been dispersed. And because they rejected the coming king, the Lord, at his first advent, they have been dispersed. But someday they will, a remnant will be, a believing remnant will believe. The nation will be restored to the Lord, as we read in Zechariah. And it is at that time the Lord comes back to set up his kingdom. And during the millennial kingdom, Israel will be the preeminent kingdom. They will be the head and not the tail. And so this speaks of how God views order in his creation, for man to be ruling over his creation, but since the formation of Israel, for them to be the preeminent nation. So the reason we have such chaos in the world today and disorder is from the sin that has resulted, of course, but the sin that came in the Garden of Eden dethroned man. And Israel's rejection of their king dethroned them as a preeminent nation. But when the Lord comes and sets up his kingdom here on earth, man will be ruling in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Israel will be the preeminent nation, and then there will be order in the world. That's why there will be such great prosperity. And as we read through the book of Isaiah, we see some of the characteristics of that time. There will be economic prosperity. There will be a healing of the earth. There will be peace between the nations. And it will be a wonderful time as the Lord reigns as a benevolent ruler. And so there will be great order to the world. We don't have that kind of order now, do we? We have such chaos and wickedness and turmoil in the nations. Don't we get a picture of that, as we're going to see later in the book of Daniel, as he's thrown into the lion's den? The Son of Man is in there with him to protect him, pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. He's in there, and how does the lions react? there's no harm done. He has power and brings peace to the animals. And then that future millennial kingdom, there will be peace between the humanity and the animal kingdom. There will be great order. Isn't it wonderful that someday the Lord Jesus Christ will reign on this earth? And so Daniel talked about that time when the Lord would come and he would put an end to this, all the kingdoms that had been reigning during the times of the Gentiles. Now with man ruling over and having dominion over the earth, and Israel as a preeminent nation, now it's no longer the times of the Gentiles, but it's the time of Israel as the Lord reigns from Jerusalem. If we turn to Revelation chapter 19, Revelation 19, and verse 11, Revelation 19 and verse 11. Here we read that I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead small... Got the wrong passage again. I'm having trouble today. I meant Revelation 19 and verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And so we see the coming of the Lord at the end of Daniel's 70th week, at the end of the tribulation period. He comes to put down the armies encamped around Jerusalem. We read of that in the book of Zechariah. And he delivers the remnant, and he sets up his kingdom here on earth. What we just read in the book of Revelation here in these few verses speaks of that stone striking the image. The book of Daniel is the key to prophecy. The book of Daniel gives us the overall picture. But then as we read later in the New Testament and the epistles, and then specifically in the book of Revelation, we see more details filled in. And so that stone striking the image is pictured here in the book of Daniel. I will close with this wonderful hymn that was written about the coming of the Lord Jesus to this earth and his reign over the earth. Jesus shall reign someday. He's the Son of God, is that stone, and he's going to reign someday. And what a day that will be. And the hymn writer says, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more. Let every creature rise and bring peculiar honors to our King. Angels descend with songs again, and earth repeat the loud Amen. To him shall endless prayer be made, and princes throng to crown his head. His name like sweet perfume shall rise with every morning sacrifice. People and realms of every tongue dwell on his love with sweetness song, and infant voices shall proclaim their earthly blessings on his name. Indeed, someday Jesus will reign. And what a day that will be. But in the meantime, we, the church, we believers, before this happens, 7+ years before, we will be caught up. We don't look for the coming of the Lord to the earth, because we're looking for an event prior to that. As the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him. And so we look for the coming of the Lord for the church, for the bride of Christ, for the coming in the air, which we will be part of. And we will be taken to heaven with the Lord while this terrible 7 years of judgment occurs on the earth. But then we will come, and when the Lord comes back to the earth, we will come with him as he sets up his kingdom, and we will be with that stone that strikes the image. We will come with the conquering hero, the conquering victor, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he cannot fail, nor can he be discouraged. God bless.